welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire radio program that we affectionately call Satsang is being recorded for Sunday, April the 30th, 2017, and I'm more than grateful to tell you how grateful I am that you are here to listen. We're going to be working on courage. I always am amused and amazed at people's perceptions of me and what I'm trying to do here on Aspire, both radio and TV, and we're going to talk a little bit about it. I want to remind you that if these radio programs are important to you, if they serve you, as well as the TV programs that I offer on the website at aspire.org, you will find that these gifts are there strictly because of the compassion, the love, and the generosity of my sponsors. It is only through their sponsorship, their kind and loving donations quarterly or monthly, that I am able to continue and offer you these radio programs and TV programs. So I hope that if you're enjoying our offerings here, if you find them interesting or serving you well, that you will join us in our effort to sustain our program. I'm not much interested in growing it. I'm really not. I'm interested in sustaining it, keeping it alive for people like you who listen to the program. So it isn't about building a network. It's about serving your heart and serving you. If you are interested in becoming a sponsor, or you would just like some general information about sponsorship, go to the website at aspire.org, aspire.org, and when you get there, you will see a button that says support at the top. Just click on it. It will give you a sub-menu, and you will see one that says why support Aspire. It will tell you about everything that your donations do to serve humankind, and they do serve humankind. They really do. And you can sign up there if you choose to do so, and it would be deeply appreciated. And for your donations, oh, you get so many things, one of them being 122 discourses, if you can imagine that, that I've done over the years on my TV programs. Every time I did a TV program, I would do separate audio programs, audio discourses on the subjects that I was offering, and they're all there for you for free. You get the podcast, the video cast, the commentaries each month, the message of the month that is sent out each month that you can download from our website at aspire.org. It's all there for you. And if you're interested, go take a look. It could be very important for a lot of different reasons. You never know. I get a lot of mail from people curious about what I do. I don't know what it is really about my approach that is so intimidating to people, but maybe it's the directness of it. I don't know, but I find it rather interesting, especially as we get into the millennials and the Gen X people and what their fortitude and latitude is. So I always get emails here and there on this subject. And so I thought I'd share a few with you just for the fun of it. I'm entitling this radio program or these series on the questions of being with me, courage. First one comes from Frances. She does not tell me where she lives. I'm one of those who does not have the courage to be one of your students. I can't really face myself, and I can't face what I've done to myself. I haven't done anything bad. I just find it hard to see who I am. I can't believe that I'm even writing this to you. My question is, Greg, though I do not have the courage to meet you, the courage to be one of your students, to come to retreats, etc., can I still grow? Francis. Francis, it depends on what you want to grow. I'm not all that intimidating. But I think what happens is that self-examination becomes frightening to people. It becomes frightening because you have to take a look at the facade that you call Francis. But it isn't that bad. You make it out worse than it is. You are a woman, and women have difficulty with the idea of self-examination. They don't mind looking in the mirror and buying products for their face and their bodies because they think that will lure men in or give them esteem or adoration of some sort. So you don't mind probably buying makeup and dresses and all that other stuff. But the kind of things that I am doing here, oh, that's a different subject altogether. And I understand your, and well, what do I want to call your reluctance about it all? I do understand. But you must understand for yourself. Until you can recognize that you are not Francis, until you can recognize that Francis is simply that which was called Francis because of your humanity, because of your humanness, until you can recognize that she is just a facade, you will never grow, you will never expand, you will never mature. People grow their egos. My ego comes out of my unconscious. It is the culmination of my genetics, my DNA, and then keeping it all in the dark. If you can keep your genetics, your genetic nature, your genetic drive, your genetic disposition, along with the DNA that wants to survive through all of that, kind of away from your conscious sight in the form of not seeing it, just reacting to it and thinking it's normal without seeing if it's doing any damage to you. If you do that, if you can live like that for long periods of time, you and I, which we all have, develop egos. And probably the most embarrassing thing to all of us is the state of our ego. Do you have to look at it? Well, I'm not a have to kind of guy. Do I have to? No, you don't. Will I grow if I don't? No, probably not. You have to see the horror of it first. What do I mean by that? If you can meditate, if you can watch and observe, if you can see it for what it is, it will do you so much good. If you can see exactly the state of your life through the way we have lived in our genetics and our DNA, then you can liberate yourself. There comes a moment when you just don't care anymore about the ego, where you don't care anymore about the pride, the vanity of it all. You just don't care. That growing spiritually is more important than anything in your life because it is the only way out of the cycle of our karma. Otherwise, we just keep repeating this and repeating this. How do I know these things? You know them too. I can't explain where the knowledge comes from, where the awareness comes from. I have had to look at many things about myself, Francis, that I didn't care to see, that I didn't like. They came out of genetics and DNA, and I wasn't too thrilled with it either. But when you look at it from the light of the heart, everything is forgiven. I can't grow if I'm just doing Greg all the time. Greg, Greg, Greg. Greg can't forgive himself. Greg cannot love himself. And neither can Francis. And since this whole thing is based in love, this whole lifetime, why remove ourselves from it because of pride or vanity or fear? There's no need to. There's only a great love in you, a great love in your heart that is necessary to achieve awakening. The beauty of you outshines what you're afraid to look at. I can't talk you into that. I can't make you understand that. I can only share that with you, your great beauty. So, if you work upon yourself with your heart and your soul, if you're willing to see the bigger picture of your life and you don't get caught up in the self-hatred, you'll do fine. What you're really dealing with here, Francis, is your own self-hatred and not me as a teacher trying to help you. Students think it's me, but it's really not. It's themselves. When they do good work, they know. When they do bad work, they know. And when they're not doing anything that's important and meaningful, they also know. They don't need me to tell them, although sometimes I have to tell them because that's my job to help them. It's not always pretty on this end. Francis, you'll never be ready. Not in this world. You have to jump into it. And yet, at the same time, you have to feel the pull to go into it. That's the difficulty. You can't let your ego, your forefathers, your genetics, your chemistry rule your life. There's something more within you. When you're ready, the teacher will appear. If it's me, I would be honored. Please forgive me. Namaste. I understand how she feels. When I went to India for the first time, I was definitely feeling the way she was and is. I just could not imagine myself being able to deal with anything other than what I had dealt with before. And when I saw the blatant honesty in people about themselves and that the shame and guilt was not there from my comrades in all of this, that's when things really changed. The next question, what does it take to be a student of a teacher like you? I'm just wondering, Kevin, what does it take? I think more than anything, it is what you're willing to give, not take. You have to be compassionate. You can't be looking at the idea that this is some philosophy or religion that I am teaching here, because it is not. I am teaching you transformation. I'm teaching you how to live in this world, but not live of this world. I am teaching you liberation. You won't find it in politics. You won't find it in religion. I am not trying to keep you in any way. I'm trying to liberate you in every way. So you have the chance to awaken and realize the meaning of yourself upon the face of your own life. A meaningful life, what does that entail? Well, for most people, it has to do with objects and people. The comfort, the security of objects and people and things make up the whole attitude of what it is to live our life in a way that people would say is supportive or successful or whatever. I am not of that elk. That's what it would take. You have to be extremely tired of the whole thing. Tired of the way people are. Tired of the way you are with people. Fatigued with the idea of living in the auspice of fear all the time. Fear, fear, fear. Always fearing, always getting unhappy, always being unhappy. Always fighting off that depression, that anger, that hatred, You have to be at a place where you no longer wish to go into that. You are seeking what is authentic. And if you have a feeling of the authentic, if you have the feeling of what it means to be authentic, then you're really in a very beautiful place. But if the authentic does not intrigue you at all, well, what can I say? What can I do? I can only offer you that which you can accept. So the beauty of it all is, it's in your hands, not mine. It's in your hands that everything is happening the way it is happening. If you wish to understand the nature of your life, you will need to understand the nature of your heart. And if you're willing of your heart, and you're willing to allow your heart to have expression through your life, then come and join me. If you have some sense of devotion, not willpower, but devotion, then you understand what it takes, the horsepower it takes, as I like to call it, to be an authentic student, to really work upon yourself, and to maintain a practice that is a lifestyle, is not some hobby we do or something we are merely trying out. If you can do any and all of those things, then it's time for you. But if you know that you will give up quickly, if you know that your attention wavers, that you are always side-pathing into other things, then probably not. A student is a person who gets down to the nitty-gritty. A student is a person who powers through quietly, through silence, their ego, their vanity, their pride. They do not go into competition with it. They simply do not acknowledge it. They simply understand that it is there, but they do not make it an obstacle. True, it can be an obstacle, but also true, it doesn't need to be. This is a person who has the courage and the daring within themselves not to want to try to be first or the best, but to be authentic and real. This is a person who will practice, who will make their life a donation to their heart. And in that donation, they will find a certain kind of loving awakening occurring. And for that, they will give more. More love, more heart, more time, more attention, more gentleness, more intimacy with all that lives within them. This is a very unique person. This is a person of the heart, not of the mind. The intellect does many things. It puts us into some very difficult places in our life. And I can live in my intellect forever and never mature into the state of the heart. But if you choose to go into the heart, you will find the intellect will be of little or no value to you at all. Nothing will be more important than having that beautiful moment in your life where silence speaks everything to you and is the language of your life. When you really realize through non-duality and meditation that silence is everything, you will no longer need answers to your questions, and you will no longer have the questions themselves. I know this from personal experience, and I'm telling you, it is one of the most beautiful and most revolutionary ways of living a person can have. And you won't care about politics in any form, religion in any form. You will be of service to humankind in every way you possibly can. So basically, Kevin, you asked me, what does it take to be a student of a teacher like you? I'm just wondering. Sincerity, devotion, forgiveness, compassion. These are the things that must be utmost in you, the ability to be unconscionably generous with everyone and everything. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's a good question. I hadn't thought about it before. What's it take? It would be interesting to have my students do something on that so you'd know. The last question comes from Karen. She again does not tell me where she lives. Do your students understand you? You are so unnerving at times with honesty. I don't have the courage to even meet you, although I have wanted to for many years. I watched you on TV for years in San Diego. Are you always intimidating, Karen? Probably. Yeah, but I'm not. If you know me, I'm not just a great big old pussycat. Intimidating. That's an interesting word. I don't feel I'm intimidating at all. I care very much about people. I care very much about my students, very much. I know what it takes to have the courage to even sit and self-examine oneself. I understand the whole shamata here. I do. So you're interpreting me, Karen. You don't know me. You only know what you see on TV. You only know what you hear on radio. You only know what you read when you come to the website. Things like that. I understand that, but what makes you think you know me? What makes you think I'm intimidating? I'm not trying to push you into a practice. I'm opening the door for you. I'm giving you the door and opening the door and saying, come if you like. But most people turn it down because in this whole effort of awakening, a person has to have some sense of what the meaning of their life is and what the meaning of their heart is and what the meaning of their living is. And a lot of people just don't care about that. They don't see that as being very important. It's an assumed value, as I call it. People have assumed values of what is important and meaningful. If you have an assumed value, you will miss the real value of everything. Karen, it is love that intimidates you, not Greg Penn. Greg Penn invites you into that which would open up the door to love in you. I think you will find it is love. And surprisingly to me, over the years of my career, that has been absolutely the issue with students. Love destroys all of their gratifications, all of their illusions, all of their perceptions. Love brings them into authenticity with their life. But the problem with us is that we don't do that authenticity. We're afraid of it. We have become so artificial that authenticity frightens us, unnerves us. What you feel from me is not my intimidation, but Karen, you're feeling your own. If you are seeking the way authentically, beyond the comfort and trying to get a perfect life, then you will understand, oh, he is just showing me the way. That's all I'm doing. And I'm saying anyone can do this at any time in their life if they're looking at their life from the point of view of love. If love is more important to you than anything in your life, then something of the other shore can reach you. Something of a great beauty can have you. So there you are. The intimidation is your mind, your ego, your pride, your vanity. Ooh, those sting, don't they? But somebody has to talk about it, and it has to be real. And now that you know, it's not me you're afraid of. It's being revealed that you're afraid of. Thank you for your question, and please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Wow, what a week. I hope you've enjoyed the radio programs for this week, and if you have, that you'll come to the website at aspired.org and do a question. Ask me. I won't hurt you, I promise. Go to the website at aspire.org and go to media, and there you will see Satsang with Siraj, and just click on that. You can send me an email from there, or just write me at Greg, at aspire.org. It's that easy. Have a beautiful day. I'll be back on the air next week. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.